Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
And welcome to Education America, where we are taking steps to save the classroom so that we can save the country. Come along with us here every Saturday night on AM 1280. Patriot at 6 o'clock, where K through 12 education is the playing field. And as the 16th President Abraham Lincoln so succinctly stated, he said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. I'm Mark Durkin, joined by my co-host and founder of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom.
And good evening to you, Mark. So great to see you.
You as well. And I'm thankful that we have our wonderful guest here tonight, who we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But here on Education America, we have spent much time discussing the growing division that has marred countless classrooms across Minnesota and the rest of the country. Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, comprehensive sex education, and gender identity, just to name a few. And from leadership in government to leaders of teachers' unions and school districts, our nation's children are on the receiving end of an ideological indoctrination that is being passed off as truth. Well, a few months ago, we discussed that these ideologies stem from a worldview that is devoid of truth, and we know that the embodiment of truth is God himself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, and as Christian churches and ministries are working at helping children develop a biblical worldview, our guest tonight says it's time for the church in America to engage the culture if it wants to stop the culture from changing our children through the education system.
Yes, and joining us in studio tonight to discuss this very important work is Roger Peterson. Mr. Peterson has helped start Nehemiah Reset about 3 years ago and currently serves as the executive director. Before helping start the organization, Roger spent more than 40 years in the financial arena, including stints with the U.S. Naval Department, Arthur Anderson, and Carlson Companies. And throughout his career, Roger has always been involved with kids as a coach, church youth director, Sunday school superintendent, and more. You're a busy man. And when he and his wife discovered that kids were being indoctrinated in the public school system, they together with other concerned parents started a Christian school. And he has invested a large amount of his personal time in education because of his 6 children and 20 grandchildren. Roger, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Education America.
Well, it's a privilege to be here, and I'm just thankful that you do this type of program for people to get more educated as to what's going on in the public schools.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, we believe that's important, too. And it's interesting, we started this show 5 years ago, almost 6 years
ago. Almost 6, yep.
And back then, it seemed that there was so much need, you know, so much to be concerned about and so much that we needed to share. And like you, you know, 20 years ago, even I saw it. And that's what prompted us to start Liberty Classical Academy, too. But boy, would we have ever imagined that even just in the last couple of years, how far things would go off the rails with our public school system.
Well, you can imagine how I feel when my kids were going to school and we saw this.
Yeah.
And that's what prompted us to pull our kids out of public school and put them in and actually start a Christian school.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do you mind me asking? Oh, no. Is the school still there? Do we know?
It is not. It was started in a church. And
yes.
As there was a change in pastors, it finally
lost the support.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can happen. That's unfortunate. But it got your children and many other children through, and I'm sure that was a wonderful experience for them while it was there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it builds a good foundation for the kids as they get off into the culture and get involved in maybe perhaps some other schools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Well, your organization, Nehemiah Reset, is named after the biblical Jewish cupbearer, Nehemiah. Can you explain for our listeners the importance of Nehemiah's life 2,000 years ago, and why is his life's purpose significant for the United States today?
Well, I think the way I would do this is explain it based upon why we named Nehemiah Reset after Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah grew up, as you mentioned, he was a cupbearer for the king.
Mm-hmm.
Cupbearer is a pretty important position.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Daniel and Joseph, he was pretty high up in the hierarchy of the Babylonian government.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when he was there, it was just after the captivity period where Cyrus, who about 50 years before that had sent someone back to actually build the temple again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sent Ezra back to assist in that. But Jerusalem was still in ruin.
In ruin. Mm-hmm.
And the walls weren't built.
Right.
Nehemiah, if you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5, Nehemiah was so concerned about that, he cried out to God for help. What should he do about it? And he got an answer not too long after that when the king saw that Nehemiah was just sad, not looking very good. Nehemiah, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And so Nehemiah said, well, and before he did this, he prayed.
Yes.
I think that's... You know, that's a key for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
One thing before we do anything, we should pray.
Mm-hmm.
But Nehemiah shows us what happens when we do that. He said his first prayer, and then just before he answered the king, he said another short prayer, one of those arrow prayers.
Yeah.
And so then Nehemiah answered and said, well, the city's in ruin, the walls are broken down. And the king asked a real short question, and you should be surprised at the question. He asked, well, when are you going, and when will you be back?
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine he's sending his cupbearer who saves him from being deadly poisoned or whatever, and he's sending him away. Well, Nehemiah answered the question, got letters, and went to Jerusalem. He gets there, and then he surveys the walls, but he does it at night.
Yeah.
You know, that seems pretty strange.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it so he had a good understanding of what was going on. And then over the next few weeks, he starts building the wall. And he does it by dividing the responsibilities to the residents who are right behind the wall that would have the most concern about that portion of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what Nehemiah Reset is trying to do. We want people in their communities to get concerned, form teams, and help us monitor what's going on in the public schools today.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's really how we kind of talked about Nehemiah, why we kind of are doing what we're doing, and we think the Twin Cities needs a reset.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, we need to redo what we're doing and what's been going on.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. And we can see evidence of that with all of the involvement of the parent groups in this last election, many of which were not successful. They were very close. I think many of these parent groups put out some candidates to try to pushed back in the election process, but some of them were successful, some of them were not. And I guess that's only one way that, we can have a reset.
Well, and it was great to see that we did have a lot of not just pushback, but people, parents involved.
Yes,
You know, it's the first time
in a long time.
And probably 30, 40 years that I've been involved where I've seen that much parent involvement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's great to see.
Yes.
Hopefully that's a good gauge for us going into the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and as you're alluding to, I mean, many Americans, not only here in Minnesota, across the country, deeply troubled by the moral and spiritual decline that's been emerging in our country for decades. You know, this is a time that the church must be the light that shines and makes a great impact in pushing back and consuming really just kind of the spiritual darkness that's all around us. You know, you alluded to the fact that you're wanting to get families involved in regards to confronting the problems that they're seeing right now. Share specifically the mission of the organization.
Well, Nehemiah Reset, their mission is to build biblical worldview for people in the church that would, especially on relevant issues, cultural issues. Mm-hmm. We do that by forming salt and light teams, or what we call cultural impact teams, to educate, inform, mobilize them in the culture. Mm-hmm. So that's really our mission, is really to get the church. And when we mean the church, we're talking about the people in the church.
Right.
Because not all, it's certainly not all the time, especially in today's world, where we can actually get the official church to be involved. But we want the people involved.
Right, right. What are some of the cultural issues that your organization engages in order to see God's kingdom grow here in the Twin Cities?
Well, our targets lately have been primarily those issues that are going on in the schools, because that's where we see that we can have the greatest impact. And those are things like critical race theory, comprehensive sex education, equity, the 1619 Project.
Right.
All these, and now with the Minnesota new social study standards, that's another one that just kind of keeps raising its ugly head.
It does. Yeah. And, I know. The third draft just came out.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. And so, you know, we want to educate the parents and the church in those issues because so often, you know, they hear it like, you hear most of the work right now, or the pushback is on critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the left is saying, well, we don't teach critical race theory.
Right.
Well, and that's why it's important to understand what it is, because they certainly teach the various aspects of critical race theory.
Right.
And today most parents don't understand all the aspects. And that's part of our job, is educating these people. And we produce videos on those things.
Oh, you do? Yes. Okay.
Teaching materials.
That's great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason, again, why we're not seeing the, you know, the reset or the transformation, the godly transformation in the culture, is because up until now, really, the church hasn't been consistently engaging with the culture. What does it mean specifically for God's church to be engaged in culture on these issues without really continuing or allowing Satan's plan of changing the church to look like the culture?
Well, I think for so long the church has kind of preached you need to be involved in Bible studies, you need to be, and your friends are all church people. You're not really even knowing people that are outside the church, what I call the church culture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And unless you actually engage in the culture and engage with your friends, your neighbors, with people that maybe you see at work, at school, wherever, unless you engage, you're not going to make a difference. We can't have an impact on culture unless we really get out into the culture. And I think the church has missed the boat at doing that.
They've put up an imaginary line between the gospel and culture, but they are really inextricably tied in terms of if we really want to be a part of the culture in a real way, you really have to integrate it into everything we do as Christians. We can't separate ourselves. So, well, yeah.
And I think a good model, at least one that we look at, is Pastor Jack Hibbs out in California. Mm-hmm. Jack's church does this very well. In fact,
I've never heard of him. I'm going to have to look that up.
You should look.
Is that Calvary Chapel?
Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. His church has a organization much like Nehemiah Reese said. It's called Real Impact. Real Impact, in fact, was the model that we started with. And they, Gina Gleason, who heads that up, does an excellent job at bringing the church into the culture.
That's good.
So.
Well, and somewhat related to that, as you've been talking about getting the church moving to become more engaged in the culture, your organization engages the church in culture with Salt and Light teams. Can you explain for our listeners the importance of the biblical usages of salt and light? And then what are these teams comprised of and what are they trained to do?
Well, the reason that we decided to name them Salt and Light was for... If you go to Matthew 5:13, it talks about you are the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And what does salt do? Well, it preserves. Mm-hmm. It enhances flavor. You know, you put it on a lot of food, and it really makes the food taste better.
Yeah.
So as a Salt and Light member, part of what your job is to get into the culture, be the model that other people can look at and say, well, here's somebody that understands what's going on. Here's somebody that upholds those things that Jesus wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing would be true with light.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to shine our light. He said, don't hide your light under a bushel basket.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put it on top of the hill so that everybody can see from what you're doing, everybody can see the model that Jesus wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we named it Salt and Light. As I said, out in Jack Hibbs Church, he calls it cultural impact teams.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, and that's why, you know, we interchange that. And certainly some of the teams that we've helped set up are, let's say, not all Christians. And so we don't demand that people be Christian, but we certainly train all our training material and stuff is Christian based.
So that's interesting. I don't know if you're going to go into this, but I'd like to maybe know a little bit more about that. So you're inviting people to make an impact on the culture, sometimes maybe just in positive ways that aren't necessarily all from a Christian perspective. Like maybe you would want them to influence in the realm of family and being involved with your children. Is that kind of how they would manage if they weren't?
Let's say someone comes to us and says, I have a group already.
Mm-hmm.
I have a group in Maple Grove or whatever, and it's made up of people in the community.
Okay.
And yes, there are some things that we would support, like maybe something in the school systems on CRT and some of these issues we talked about. But there are other things that really Christians aren't involved with and don't really get involved with. We would help them. We would provide training material for them.
Mm-hmm.
But we probably, you know, we wouldn't necessarily be connected with Nehemiah Reset.
Okay. So, okay. Got it.
So
okay.
So
you train, but they're not always the ones that are going to stay connected to the organization.
And we're not we're not out there to have ownership of these groups.
Sure.
We're out there if they need help in training, if they need resources, for example, if they need a copy of the Minnesota Social Studies Standards, we'll have that available. If they need some of this other stuff, information, we'll have that available.
Got it. Okay, got
it. Absolutely. Well, we've talked about a lot of the ideologies, of course, that are now front and center in a lot of the public schools. We hear a lot about critical race theory. That's been talked about much. You can't go anywhere without hearing the discussion on critical race theory. A part of that is this 1619 Project. Okay, it basically asserts that America's founding was not at the time of the Declaration of Independence, but it was at the time that several slaves ended up on the shores of the Jamestown colony in 1619. Well, right now there's a coming book version that people may not be aware of, and it's called A New Origin Story, along with other materials that seem destined that they're going to be used at some point in our nation's public schools. You know, what can you tell us, if anything, you might know about the book? And what are Salt and Team Lights doing to combat its being implemented in schools and history curriculums?
Well, first of all, it's not, it's out.
Okay.
I did not even know about this book. I'm so surprised.
Yeah. I have the teacher's curriculum right here.
Sure.
Okay. And that it's primarily going to be done in secondary education, mm-hmm. 9th through 12th grade. It basically mirrors what Nicole Hannah-Jones talked about mm-hmm. in her original article mm-hmm. in the New York Times. But it's more just indoctrination. Mm-hmm. If you look at what's being done, it consists of, I think it's 18 essays.
Okay.
So it's
that they would read.
That they would read, mm-hmm. but there are questions mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. the teacher's instructed to ask, and most of it is more it's not like, well, what do you think, or what do you think about some of this stuff, but it's more trying to change the history mm-hmm. of when America was founded. Her premise is America was founded in 1619 when the first slaves came into mm-hmm. Virginia.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because she's a Marxist. She wants to change the history, because if you can change the history, you can eventually change
the culture.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
And so I think people might be interested. I'll give a couple of resources from this. Let's see here. At least I had it. Oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it. There's other curriculum out here. One that people haven't talked a lot about is Black Lives Matter curriculum.
Yes, I was going to say there's that. Yeah,
you can mm-hmm. find that at blacklivesmatteratschool.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can go there and find all kinds of information on that curriculum. And that's being pushed around as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's more 1619 curriculum at the Pulitzer Center,
Pulitzer. Yeah,
you can find that at tinyurl.com/Pulitzer Pulitzer mm-hmm. lesson plan.
Okay,
so that's some other 1619 project, and then there's some other teaching material that's being used at teachingforchange.org.
Hmm.
And, of course, I guess I should also mention that Planned Parenthood has all kind of teaching curriculum on sex education that's being pushed in the schools.
Yes, yeah, that's correct. And that's actually been going on for a while. That's not anything new.
That's mm-hmm. what got my wife and I started in doing the Christian school was way back
20 years ago.
30 years ago.
30 years, wow.
That the sex education was what we pointed out. Mm-hmm. This stuff has been going on for a long time. It's just that finally people, because of COVID, saw what they were really teaching.
Right.
And I can't encourage parents enough mm-hmm. that they need to be asking to see the materials that are being taught.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Including the lesson plans, and they have a right to see those.
Mm-hmm.
And if for some reason that doesn't work, give us a call or send us an email, and we will do what we can to assist you in getting that.
Yep. And just to be clear, since you're here, I'll just share your email. Looks like it's rpeterson@nehemiahreset.org. And then your website is www.nehemiahreset.org. So very easy to remember, and it sounds like you've got quite a few resources available on your website.
And we're constantly producing. We produce animated videos.
Okay.
So not necessarily speakers, but animated videos that mm-hmm. people can watch, and they're usually from 2 minutes to 10 minutes. Wow. So they're short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that people that have short attention spans can watch them. But what mm-hmm. we try to do is do some videos on each of the various cultural issue topics.
Okay.
And then as we learn more, like we did one on the Minnesota Social Studies Standard okay. here, probably have to do another one now with the third
new installment.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So,
right.
And quite honestly, we probably will do one on this new 1619
this
project.
New book, right.
Because I just pulled this down when Mark sent me the question on the 1619 project, because I didn't realize. The other thing that we need to realize, too, is I think this is the number one seller on the bookseller now, on the list.
The book. A new origin story.
It's all over the internet.
I'm sure it is. Well, we're running low on time here, Roger, so I just want to make sure we get to ask you about your more recent work, which has been specifically to work in this year's elections and
the school board elections.
So what positives did you see emerge in the arena of school boards as a result of your organization's work?
Well, I think I can't say I saw a lot of positives from our work, but I did see a lot of positives from the work that was done across the metro.
Yes. Okay.
You know, there were a total of, I think, maybe 30 or so districts that we found people that were conservatives and were running. I think out of that there was 15 or 16 that actually won. As I was telling Mark before we started, there were a number of slates, people where there were three openings and three were running. A number of those slates just were narrowly defeated.
Yes. Right.
That's what we saw.
We saw that with,
yes, up in White Bear. I know that was the case.
And District 196 also. Rosemount, Eagle, or Egan, rather, Apple Valley.
Didn't Kim Bauer, didn't their group win?
She did not win.
Well, she did not win. No. She's probably wondering why I wrote to her congratulations.
I think she was within 70 or 80 votes.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody had told me that she had actually made it across the finish line. I'll have to circle back with her.
I did not see any slates at once.
Okay. Wow. Okay, that's unfortunate.
There were maybe one or two where if there was a three-person slate, one of the people won.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think across the metro, that's probably the biggest disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
So, but I hope next year that we can do something similar. We did have a program here on Salem with American Experiment. And one of the Osseo school board members, where we tried to hype the school board elections a couple days before. And we'd like to do that again. We need more participation, though, in the school districts so that we identify more candidates. They get properly trained. We're going to try to do some more training. I know American Experiment had a great training program. They're committed to do some more training. So I think if we can get candidates identified, get them comfortable in running, I think we have a good shot at doing a great job the next go around.
Well, we just want to repeat, too, just our appreciation for you, Roger, and just all of the grassroots organizations that are working so hard, because that's where education on these issues is going to happen. It's going to be at the ground. It's not going to come through the media. It's not going to come through people's favorite personalities. It has to start from the ground. And just continue to build on that momentum.
That's right. Roger, thank you so much.